That's EEECS. It stands for Electronics, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science. My name is TJ Cosgrove. I'm the Technology and Innovation Officer for the School of Electronics, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at Queen's University Belfast. Our passionate staff and incredible students are at the forefront of 21st century technology, working in areas like artificial intelligence, data analytics, virtual reality, robotics, cybersecurity, smart grids, and cloud edge computing. But what do these technologies actually do? How do they work? And what do they mean for our future? We break down the complex topics and explain the big ideas with our experts, researchers, staff, and students. This is the EEECS podcast. So today I have Dr. David Cutting with me. It's really great to speak to you today, Dave.
Hi, TJ. Thanks for having me.
Dave, can you tell me a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I'm a lecturer in computer science at EECS at Queen's University. And prior to that, I've had various jobs here and there, including working internationally, where I spent a couple of years working in Namibia for the Ministry of Health through voluntary service overseas. So I kind of led a wibbly wobbly route, but I've been at Queen's now for just over 3 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's almost the same time as me, actually. I didn't realise that.
Absolutely. Well, all the best people 3 years ago, that's when they had all the recruitment.
So what we're talking about today on the podcast is a project called Global Coders. What is it and what does it mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I found during my relatively brief time, about 2.5 years working sort of in technology and international development, was the transformative power that technology can have, especially in the context of low and middle income countries. Mm. You skip forward sort of 5-6 years, I've come back, I've done a PhD and I've ended up at Queen's. And one of the things that we spend a lot of our time doing is supervising projects, master's projects, final year projects. Project work's a vital component of the kind of academic work our students do. And we spend also quite a bit of time trying to find real projects for students. Often we are coming up with projects ourselves. Wouldn't it be good if you did this? Sometimes the students suggest them themselves. But the best projects and the best impact for students, the best outputs, are real projects that have real customers. So we engage a lot with companies and organisations all over the UK to try and find real world projects for them. The idea of Global Coders came as I was sort of pondering the idea that software products can have significant impact in the developing world, but the organisations and people that want them certainly really can't pay for developers to do them. The whole point is it's a very resource constrained environment. At the same time, I have students who are hungry to do real projects. And so the idea of Global Coders really was to see whether or not we could marry the two, whether we could find real world projects for NGOs, the people working in international development, just for ideas that would be globally beneficial, sort of, you know, for social good, and give them to our students to do, and hopefully end up with a bit of a win-win situation.
Amazing. And so what kind of student projects, you know, what kind of problems does Global Coders hope to solve?
Well, we've had a whole bunch of projects over the last 2 years that we've been running, getting increasingly sort of broad in our focus. Mm-hmm. We've had projects looking at things like patient management and remote healthcare. How do we help provide solutions to leverage modern technology and modern communications to marginalise distance and issues with that? More recently, we've had projects looking at contact tracing. We started those before COVID. It was actually to do with Ebola, but it's very timely and come out. Absolutely. We have projects looking at things like prosthetics. How can we lower the entry bar for prosthetic hardware to come in? And a wide variety of projects working with a lot of different stakeholders and NGOs, and some projects that we've identified as commonalities between those. So things that a lot of different organisations seem to want, we're trying to deliver for them.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I think a lot of people might expect it to be technology problems first, but I suppose it's using that technology and that ability with technology to solve any problem, be that scheduling, be that organizing something, be that delivering a product or a service. It's using the technology to benefit people, not necessarily designing them a technology that will benefit them.
Absolutely. I think that's a very interesting point, TJ. And I mean, the other thing I would say is that the vast majority of our projects are not what I would call rocket science. They're not things which are brand new groundbreaking. What's new, innovative and groundbreaking is we're developing it and giving it away for free. Having said that, some of our projects I do think are incredibly innovative and incredibly sort of research focused, but the vast majority are doing things that, you know, have been solved before but cost a lot of money.
Yeah. And so obviously solving these problems, fixing these issues, it can have a massive impact, as you say, in the developing world. What kind of impact would you see in the projects that you're involved with?
Well, what I'm trying to do really is two things. I'm trying to leverage the power of technology, and often that is just as simple as streamlining communications. I've seen firsthand how simply providing communications backlinks for things like X-ray details in an environment where there only is one or two consultants and they're 500 miles away down a bumpy road can make a difference. In terms of impact of the projects we're doing at the moment, really, we're just trying to lower that entry bar. So we're looking at, you know, things where the cost is thousands of pounds. It's just not attainable. And we're trying to open source the software. So the software's free. The time we've put in is free. All of the academic support and all the students' time is free. And we are using either free or incredibly low-cost components like Raspberry Pis and Arduinos, making the entry bar as low as humanly possible.
And so what role does open source software have in delivering these solutions? It's something you mentioned before. How does that change the equation whenever you're working with resource-constrained companies, resource-constrained organizations, and in developing worlds?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that I'm a bit of an open source evangelist. I love open source. Open source has democratized the access to computers and systems that exist out there. What it means practically from a Global Coders point of view is that an awful lot of the things that we provide, the bit we do is a small component on the end. It's the small customization. What we call the stack underneath it, so the operating system, the libraries, all the technology that's used, that's where we're reusing people's libraries, we're reusing Focus. And open source means no cost of licensing. So that's a huge reduction in entry bar. Yeah. It means no constraints on distribution channels. So we're not faced kind of lots and lots of rules about, oh, well, you need to go and buy this or license this component from X and Y and whatever. I will say, obviously, we do have constraints that we need to keep it open source. You know, open source is you need to pass the love on, as they would say.
Yeah.
But it basically means that we democratize it. We are able to provide high quality enterprise level solutions, which are used by millions of people worldwide, used by FTSE 100 companies. And it's the same technology, the same operating system, the same standards, the same security. And open source means that we can provide that wherever we want at no cost.
And I guess the other sort of ancillary benefit of that is that those solutions can be built upon. So if you deliver something that fixes a problem or helps with an issue, it can then be built upon by the people in the developing world, by organizations, by whatever, to keep it up to date, to keep it consistently working for them.
Oh, absolutely. Or taken by someone else and applied to a totally different domain or solution. I mean, I always say that, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants that have open sourced their stuff, and we open source everything that we possibly can precisely for that reason. A student project is a fixed period of time. You know, our students will graduate and go off to great careers. Some of them will retain involvement with their projects beyond graduation, but more likely they're going to go and begin their lives, you know, and take this on. So by having a well-documented and freely available solution that we're providing, absolutely, we're looking to provide those building blocks that in 2, 3, 4 years, someone else comes along and says, oh, that's really cool, but I'm going to add this awesome new feature to it. That's brilliant. And that's a sign of success.
Absolutely. And it's quite an interesting problem then, in that you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. You're trying to put the wheel in a new place. So it's finding all these building blocks, as you say, in different areas or different industries even, and bringing them to bear on places that wouldn't necessarily be able to afford or integrate them.
Absolutely. And I mean, the other part of the work that we do with Global Coders is about making people aware of what's out there. So if you imagine a relatively small community NGO working in a country, they won't have any in-house technical knowledge as such. So one of the processes we go about is when someone says, I have this idea for a project, they'll then engage with me or someone like me, and I can spend time with them and help them realize what that would mean in terms of an actual solution.
Yeah.
The problem often is because you haven't seen these things, you don't know what is possible. And pretty much everything is possible. So, you know, that's part of the challenge we have, is to communicate what our capacity is, have discussions with NGOs and partners, and we'll handle the technical side for them. They just need to tell us what they want and we'll help them achieve their vision.
Fantastic. And so what do you see as the next steps and the future of the project going forward?
Well, every year we've grown it. This has been the second full year of it. We've had some really good projects going forward. To highlight a few, we've had a very good prosthetic project. We've got a very good contact tracing project going on. Any I haven't mentioned is not because they're not brilliant projects, but we have a bunch of them going forward. What we'd love to see this year is we've made a move towards including hardware and hardware designs. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really interesting to see how that comes out. I'm really hopeful that we can continue to partner with. We've got some really good contacts growing through public health organisations and also our visibility through COVID. Obviously, COVID's a terrible thing, but our visibility has grown through it. And I really hope that we can grow it. What I'd love, and you know, this is probably a pipe dream in a few years' time, is to put it beyond Queen's, to put it maybe into other domains as well. We have a lot of students every year in, you know, mechanical engineering, you name it. Built environment, that kind of thing, who I think that the general idea that why don't we put our intellectual capital, our brilliant students who are doing brilliant projects, why don't we put that to some real use and try and provide some genuine benefit to those that need it, I think would be a wonderful model to roll out.
Amazing. I 100% agree. Fantastic. Is there anything else you would say to anyone who maybe wants to get involved, or this sounds like an interesting idea they might want to look at a little further?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, we have a website, globalcoders.org. I'd encourage anyone to have a look, get in touch. If you've got any questions, you've got any ideas you want to work with, or anyone you think would be interested in networking, we're always looking for new projects we'll help to develop. One of the areas that we're interested in looking at, and we've made some tentative discussions with people like the Northern Ireland Cancer Registry, is looking at projects which focus more on data, that kind of thing. Kind of mentioned the COVID work I've been involved with. One of the things that really brought home to me, again, this idea of democratization, was one of the largest COVID symptom tracker apps is a King's College London Zoe collaboration under the Tim Spector group. It's a brilliant idea they had. They've gone ahead, they've implemented it, they're gathering a lot of data. But what they've done, which is fantastic, is they've also provided that data to any research groups in the UK through the SAIL data bank at Swansea. So that means that people like me, Centre for Public Health in Northern Ireland Public Health Agency, we can access and we can use that data. And that's been a real eye-opener for me. I've always been software, but actually having open data available also is something that allowed us to produce reports in the Northern Ireland context rather than the whole UK, very quickly, very efficiently, and it stands to their credit that they decided to open that up. So we're certainly looking at more data projects as time goes on as well.
Incredible. Thank you so much. This has been really interesting for me, and I'm sure for the listeners as well.
No problem, TJ. As I say, if anyone is interested in discussing any projects, any ideas, have a look, globalcoders.org. And if any of our students listening to this coming into their final year or doing a master's and they're interested in specifically doing a Global Coders project to have an idea, by all means, look me up. I'm always happy to have a chat and we'll see where we go from there.
You've been listening to the EECS podcast. You can find us on our website, www.qub.ac.uk/schools/EEECS. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at QUBEEECS. EECS, inventing tomorrow, today.